This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira fa ma ba'du. My dear brothers and sisters, we are in our session on Akhlaq of the Ummati. The session on the manners and the way of being of the Ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, this is something that I want to remind myself and you again and again, and that is that let us understand and remember that we are special. We are not ordinary people. Now, by this, I do not mean at all that we are some special caste or some special creed or, you know, special because we are superior to anybody, superior to other human beings in any way. No, we are not. We are human beings like anybody else. We are special in that we have been sent with a job. We have been sent with a covenant, and we have been sent with a responsibility. And that job and that covenant and that responsibility is to present a way of life to all of humanity for all time. To present a way of life to all human beings wherever they may live until the end of time. And a way of life which is not only good for them when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed it is good for them when they meet, an existence that is full of grace and beauty and tranquility and peace and health and wealth and prosperity and compassion and kindness, no wars, right? This is what Islam came to teach us. This is what Islam came to teach us as in all humanity. And this is the particular and special job of the Muslims to convey this to the world. And how are they to do that? And that's why the Akhlaq of the Ummati. They are to do that, of course, through communication, meaning through preaching and through, books and so on. But before that, and much more importantly, through their own behavior, through their akhlaq, through their demeanor, through the smile on their faces, through what they do and they don't do when they deal with people, through their dealings, right? That's a dove. Now, the thing that I want to say to you, therefore, is do think about this and say that this is the responsibility of the Muslim. And that's the reason why it is so important to live our lives according to Islam. What is the one word for that? To live your life according to Islam? It's called the Sunnah. To live your life according to the Sunnah, the blessed way and the blessed way of life of Rasulullah ﷺ is to live your life according to Islam. Because Rasulullah, his life was the manifestation, it was the expression in action of the Quran al-Kareem. Right? So this is the thing that I want to say to you, and I want to emphasize for myself and you. And that's why we are doing these lectures on the Akhlaq of the Ummati. Now, we went through a lot of the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat in that context. I'm starting another set of ayat. We did the preamble of that in the last class, and that is the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what he called Al-Ibadur Rahman, the special slaves, the beloved slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called people and called us and called those who have these qualities, and Allah described these qualities as Al-Ibadur Rahman. So let's see first what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where he said, A'udhu Billahi, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما من تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون غرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنة مستقرا ومقاما. In these beautiful ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, I've got two boats behind me. In this beautiful ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned the special qualities of people he likes, who he likes to the extent that he called them the special slaves of Ar-Rahman, Ibadur Rahman, right? Ibadur Rahman. Allah associated his beautiful and glorious quality of Rahmah, of mercy, of forgiveness with those special people, meaning that insha'Allahul Musta'an, if we are among those people, then we can look forward to the glory and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ourselves. I ask Allah to make us all among the Ibadur Rahman, to make us all among those who will be counted among those special slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some qualities. So let me first read for you the translation of the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan from ayah number 63 onwards. And Allah said, and the slaves of the most beneficent, Al-Ibadur Rahmanu yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna wa idha khatabahumu al-jahiluna qalu salama. Please see, my brothers and sisters, the beautiful definitions of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even begin by talking about his rights. He did not begin by talking about ibadah. He did not begin by talking about his worship. Allah did not say the ibadur Rahman are the people, the special slaves of Allah are those people who worship only Allah. They are those people who worship Allah day and night. They are those people who fast and who give a lot of charity and who stand in the night in Salah. Allah did not mention any of these things. And obviously, I mean, this I unfortunately have to keep on making these clarifications because there are people who still misunderstand. May Allah forgive them. This does not mean that these things are not important. These things are absolutely critically important. And they are so important that they are too important even to need a mention. Now you might say, what kind of contradiction is that? If something is so important, then you should mention it more. How come you don't mention it at all? Let me give you an example. If you are traveling in an airline and I ask you, for example, which is your favorite airline? And my favorite airline is Emirates. So if you ask me, why is it your favorite airline? So I will say, well, Emirates is my favorite airline because, number one, the quality of service. Right? Very, very beautiful service. And that service is also done extremely efficiently. It's not left to the kind mercies of a particular flight attendant or a particular check-in counter executive. This is drilled into the people. They are trained in such a way that you get a certain high level and quality of service from Emirates, from everybody in the whole company. So when from the minute you walk into the airport to check in and then into the lounge and then on board, you get uniformly great service. There will be people who will excel, no doubt about that. That always happens. But it is, you know, the uniformly good service. I mean, on a side note, let me tell you what I mean by excel. I was once on a flight, and as I was about to lift my bag to put it up, this flight attendant, she says, she saw me doing that, and I put my bag up. And then when I sat down in my seat, she comes to me, and their training is that they will come and tell you, can I show you how the seat works? Because the seat has all kinds of button and stuff on it, so reclining, this, that, whatnot, and how the TV screen works and so on. So it's part of their drill. But this is where superior service comes into being. So now she is doing part of the drill, meaning that she comes to me and she says, sir, I know I'm supposed to show you how the seat works, but I saw you have a gold tag on your bag, which means that you are one of our gold class members. Do you still want me to show you? Meaning that she's giving me this credit for having traveled on Emirates many times. And she says that she's saying to me, you don't really need me to tell you, but if you still want me to tell you, I will tell you. Now, this is superior service. On top of that, what this young lady does is, she goes into my profile. She's done all this, her homework before that. And she then goes away, and then she brings me Earl Grey tea with two cookies, right? Which is ginger cookies. So she brings me this, and she says, "I know you like Earl Grey." Now, think about this. This is what I mean by great service, which is that they have a system. Obviously, she doesn't know me from a bar of soap, right? She is referring to my record, which is with them. So I'm not impressed by saying, oh, wow, man, this girl knows me. No, this is great service, and I teach customer service. So I always look for examples of great customer service, and in Emirates, I've got plenty. So she looks up my record, and then she tells, she comes with the kind of tea that I want, and she comes to me and says, this is your tea you like. And I don't know, for some funny reason, I mean, I love Earl Grey tea, but for some funny reason, which I have not been able to fathom, the Earl Grey tea on an Emirates flight is absolutely the most superb in the world. I've never tasted Earl Grey tea that good anywhere else in the world. What they make for you on the flight is absolutely superb. So she does that. Now, the reason I'm saying this is, so if you ask me now, why is Emirates your favorite airline? I will tell you all these stories, right? I'll tell you how the great customer service, this happened, that happened, whatnot. In Manchester once, Emirates was picking us, my wife and I, she was picking us up from, Emirates was picking us up from Leeds to come to Manchester to the airport. Long story, I won't go into all that, but the long and short of it was that we ended up missing our flight for various reasons. What does Emirates do? Emirates not only puts us on the next flight, which was, of course, a few hours later. So we spent those few hours in the Emirates lounge in Manchester, very pleasant. Not only did they put us on to the next flight free of cost, but to expedite matters, I paid a cancellation fee at the time of the check-in, which was advised. I mean, the check-in counter guy advised me. He said, I can try to reach Dubai and get an authorization for it. I know they will do that, but now it's middle of the night in Dubai, so I don't know if it will happen immediately. And until that happens, I can't give you a boarding card, which means that you will have to stay here instead of going into the lounge. But if you pay the difference in fare, not difference in fare, if you pay the cancellation fee, which was, I think, £60 or something, if you pay the cancellation fee for yourself and your wife, I will give you a note and they will reimburse you that cancellation fee. So I said, fantastic, I paid it. He gave me a boarding pass. We both, my wife and I, spent the time in the lounge very pleasantly. We got onto the flight and we went back. Then what happens? Then Emirates sends me a refund for that £120 of cancellation fee. And Emirates gives me and my wife 20,000 miles as a bonus, because of the fact that we had to undergo all of this inconvenience because their pickup got delayed, and they do all of this without me asking for it. Now, this is the beauty of Emirates service. Now, again, this is not a promo for Emirates. Point I'm making here is this. The point I'm making here is, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not mentioning Tawheed and Ibadah and Tahajjud and so on and so forth? His rights, fasting, right? Hajj, Zakat, why is Allah not mentioning these? And instead, when Allah is talking about Ibadur Rahman, Allah is saying these are the people who walk on the earth with humility, and when they are faced with obnoxious people, they don't respond in kind, they respond with dignity, and they say salam, they say salam alaikum. There is an osprey which is coming up behind me. I don't know if you are lucky, you will probably see him dive for fish. It's one of my favorite birds. There he is now hovering and calling. He's right on top. I'm going to take a couple of seconds to see what he does. He's still floating along and he's going there. Bird watching is takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of time and patience, but it's really, really superbly worth it, because one of the benefits of bird watching is that you can't do it in a city. Having said that, if you are in New York City, that's where the highest concentration of peregrine falcons is. But I would do bird watching among the skyscrapers. Even New York City, maybe you go to the park. Anyway, so the point I'm making here is that here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not mentioning the fundamental issues of Tawheed. Instead, he's mentioning the akhlaq of people. And I gave you the example of Emirates, because I said that if you ask me and say, why is Emirates your favorite airline, I will tell you all of these wonderful service stories. And then if you tell me, you know what, this is all fine, you know, Earl Grey tea and bonus miles. But tell me, I mean, aren't you worried about safety? Aren't you concerned about safety? Aren't you, how come, you know, you're not mentioning safety? You know, the issue of flight safety itself. I mean, aren't you concerned about that? Now, what will I tell you? I will tell you that flight safety is so critically important that it does not even need mentioning. Obviously, if I was flying an airline where the choice was between drinking great Earl Grey tea and dying, you know, I can do without the tea, right? So I'm not saying, if I'm flying on an airline where they say, you know, the service is absolutely fantastic, But we are not sure whether you will land, or rather, what condition you will land in. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning things which not because Allah did not mention Tawheed and so on, not because it's not important, because it's so critically important. But having done all that, if you are a great tahajjud guzar, if you are praying tahajjud every single day, but you have a foul mouth, may Allah protect us. I won't say that there are examples, but you know there are examples. If you are a person who is very charitable, if you've got a beard like Weebly Winky, right? If you've got you know, a turban on your head, the size of a large pumpkin, but you have a foul mouth, you backbite, you cheat, you lie, you steal. When you get angry, you go insane, you curse, you use profanity. Tell me, what is that? Those symbols of Islam will actually be a calamity. They will be a problem for you, because of your behavior, you will be maligning Islam. So Allah is talking to us about human behavior and quality, and He's putting that as the qualifying features, and He's putting our behavior as the symbols of His special slaves. So who are His special slaves? Obviously Muwahidun, obviously people who are on Tawheed, obviously people who are obedient to Him, obviously people who pray and fulfill the fara'id of Allah, who fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard. Obviously, without saying, it doesn't need any explanation, it does not need any elaboration. Yes, indeed, there is no doubt about that. But they are those people who, after being all of this, they are also people who are the most beautifully behaved. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah said, "Innaka ala khuluqin adhim." He said to him, "You are on the best moral character." Right? He didn't say you are the one who worships me the most. No, Allah said, "You are the best moral character." Who worshipped Allah more than the Nabi alayhi salam? But Allah is not pointing to that. Allah is pointing to this. Second reason is, this is what people see. Like I mentioned to you in another lecture on Akhlaq of the Ummati, on living Islam, that people do not see our worship. People see our behavior. So in this particular case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Ali Badur Rahman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who are these people? Allah said, these are the people who walk on the earth with humility and dignity, and when the foolish address them, when people who are evil, who curse and who, you know, who behave badly, when they address them, these people, the Ibadur Rahman, they don't retaliate. They don't repeat a curse word for a curse word. Instead of that, they say, Salaam Alaikum. They say, Salaam Alaikum, I'm gone. And then Allah said, and they are those who spend the night before their Rabb in sujood and qiyam. So here is the ibadah part of it, right? They are the ones who pray tahajjud, who spend the night before their Rabb in sajda and qiyam. And they are those who say, our Rabb, avert from us the torment of Jahannam. Verily, its torment is ever an inseparable permanent punishment. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. وَأَدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةَ مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ يَا عَزِيزُ يَا غَفَّارِ. So they are people who ask to be forgiven and to be spared the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah said, evil indeed it is, the Jahannam, as an abode and a place to dwell. Allah said, save yourself from it, because it is a very bad place. And then He said, and those who when they spend are neither extravagant nor stingy, but they hold a medium way between those two extremes. When they spend, meaning not on, let's talk about spending in His path, and of course spending on yourself, spending your halal income on yourself and your family, alhamdulillah, this is sadaqah. But no extravagance in that, no showing off in that. Right? The spending in a way which is good, but there's no extravagance. Also, not being stingy. Yeah, stinginess is its own curse. Imagine you have the opportunity to earn the pleasure of Allah, you have the opportunity to spend in the path of Allah, and you hold yourself back. And then Allah said, and these are people who, and they are those who do not invoke any other ilah along with Allah, nor do they kill such life as Allah has forbidden except for just cause, nor do they commit illegal sexual intercourse, and whoever does this will receive the punishment. We look at all of these ayat, inshallah, in detail. I'm just doing the translation. Allah is mentioning here Tawheed, and Allah is mentioning the importance of spreading peace and harmony. Islam does not sanction murder. Islam does not sanction. And when Allah said they do not kill except in just cause, that refers to the two things. One is fighting for your own defense, self-defense, and the defense of your family and your property. This is permitted in Islam. And it refers to a court of law where a judge may sentence somebody to death. The judge might prescribe capital punishment. This is permissible. But for someone to just kill somebody for whatever reason, he might feel very justified doing that. This Islam does not permit that. In Islam, this is haram. It is completely and totally prohibited. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the torment will be doubled for the person on the day of judgment, and he will abide therein in disgrace. And this refers to people who do these things. And then Allah said, except those who repent and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam, and who do righteous deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Now see the mercy of Allah. Allah is saying the one who repents. So the door of repentance is open always. Allah is saying the one who repents and seeks forgiveness, not only will Allah forgive him, but Allah will convert his evil deeds into good deeds. Allah will make him, even more. Imagine that the person does a lot of evil deeds and then he comes to his senses and he says, SubhanAllah, I should not have done that. I now want to seek forgiveness. He seeks forgiveness. Allah not only forgives him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts his evil deeds into good deeds. So this is the beauty and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who do not witness falsehood, and whosoever repents and does righteous good deeds, then verily he repents towards Allah with true repentance. And those who do not witness falsehood, meaning don't spend time looking at all kinds of dirt and filth, people who don't watch pornography, for example, people who don't watch all kinds of negative, toxic things on television and on the internet, people who don't indulge in all kinds of bad things. So Allah is saying, and those who do not witness falsehood, and if they pass by some evil play or evil talk, they pass by. So Allah is saying that even if it happens that, you didn't go seeking it, but it's happening in front of you, they will not stand there and watch. They will go away from there with dignity. And those who, when they are reminded of the ayat of Allah and of their Rabb, they are not deaf and blind to them. Now, this is very, very important. This is one of the signs of the good people, signs of the Sahaba, that even if they were doing something wrong, the moment somebody reminded them, immediately they stopped doing it. They were not deaf and dumb and blind to that. Maybe somebody is forgetful. Maybe in your forgetfulness you do something. But the minute somebody reminds you, you don't justify what you were doing. You don't say, no, but I didn't mean this. No. The moment you're reminded, immediately you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the signs of the good people. May Allah make us among them, inshallah. And then there are those people who make dua and they say, oh Allah, bestow on us from our spouses and our offspring those who will be the comfort of our eyes, and make us leaders of the muttaqoon. That's quite a large plane that took off from there. I can't figure out what it is, but it's It's a big one. And let me repeat that. I don't know if you heard that. They are those who make this dua and they say, "Oh, our Rabb, bestow on us from among our wives, our spouses, and our offspring, those who will be the comfort of our eyes and make us leaders of the muttaqun." And number 75 ayah, those who will be rewarded, and Allah is now promising them the reward. May Allah make us among them, among those who Allah promised this reward, those who will be rewarded with the highest place in Jannah because of their sabr, because of their patience. Therein they will be met with greetings and the word of peace and salam and respect. And abiding therein, excellent it is an abode as a place to dwell. My brothers and sisters, this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Al-Ibadur Rahman, for His special slaves. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 9 qualities of His special slaves, Al-Ibadur Rahman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help in cultivating these qualities and in taking the right exit on the road on which we are traveling, so that we will be entitled to the beautiful destination on the road that Allah chooses for us. We ask Allah to include us among those who He called Al-Ibadur Rahman, and how foolish it would be to refuse what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for us. So what are the 9 qualities? The first one is, Allah said, those who walk on the earth in humility and dignity, and when the foolish address them with bad words, they say salam. So this is the first quality. The number 2 is those who spend the night before their Rabb in sajda and qiyam. Number 3, those who say, "O our Rabb, avert from us, protect us from the torment of Jahannam. Verily, its torment is ever an inseparable permanent punishment." Number 3. Number 4, those who, when they spend, they are neither extravagant nor stingy, but they hold a medium way between these 2 extremes. Number 5, those who do not invoke any other ilah along with Allah. Those who don't bring their own nafs into the picture. Those who do not call on any person, any human being, any celestial body, any so-called saint, any angel, and anything, in order to worship or in order to seek help. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. They worship only Allah and they seek help only from Allah. So these are people who do not invoke any other ilah along with Allah, nor do they kill such life as Allah has forbidden except for just cause, nor commit illegal sexual intercourse. Killing such life also refers to animals which we slaughter for food. In Islam, trophy hunting, for example, right? Killing an animal because you want to mount the head on your wall is haram. It is prohibited. That animal will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and you will have to answer. The animal will say, "For what crime did this man kill me?" Right? So when you, those of you who like to talk about that, you know, you're going and looking for the elephant with the biggest tusks and the lion with the biggest and blackest mane. Think about that. This is stuff, this is nonsense which is brought to us thanks to British colonial history. This is not from Islam. Trophy hunting is haram. It is prohibited. I don't care if you dislike the word haram. I'm saying it haram, haram, haram. Because that is what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give you the right just to kill something for your joy of it. Right? Ask the animal which is dying how joyful that is. Terrible, terrible. I mean, we picked up all the worst things from people. Killing an animal for food, yes, it is permitted. But something that you cannot eat and something which you are not killing for food, you are killing it for fun. What fun is it? There's fun in murder. Please understand that. In Islam, it is prohibited. Then number 6, those who repent and believe in Islam and do righteous deeds. Those who do not witness falsehood, those who do not witness dirt and filth, those who do not watch pornography, those who do not watch all kinds of horrible movies, and if they pass by some evil play, if they or evil talk, if they go somewhere and they and some, you know, bad stuff is happening, they go away. They pass by it with dignity. And number 8 is who, when they are reminded of the ayat of Allah, they are not deaf and blind to them. Yes, they may make mistakes. The Ibadur Rahman are not Anbiya alayhimus salam. The Anbiya are Ibadur Rahman, but I'm saying this is not referring to Anbiya alayhimus salam. They are not mahfuz. They are not masoom. They are people like you and me who make mistakes, but they are not people who, when they are reminded, for example, if I'm doing something which amounts to ghibah, if I'm about to backbite somebody, and somebody says, please, what you are about to say is amounts to backbiting. I say, no, you know, I didn't mean it. No. Stop. Immediately. Do not be deaf to the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be blind to the warning of Allah. If you are reminded, if you are doing something wrong or you are starting to do something wrong and somebody reminds you, they are doing you a favor. Don't argue with them. Don't justify. Just stop doing it. And that's what Allah is saying here. Those who, when they are reminded of the ayat of Allah and their signs in the Quran, of their Rabb, they are not deaf and blind to them. And the number nine one is, and the last one is, those who say, O our Rabb, bestow on us from our spouses and our offspring, those who will be the comfort of our eyes and make us leaders for the muttaqun. And these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the reward, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Allah said, and they will be rewarded with the highest place in Jannah. They will be rewarded with, Rasulullah ﷺ told us, he said, ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus. He said, ask Allah for the best. Ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus. And that's why we ask Allah for this. And Allah said, they will be rewarded with the highest place in Jannah. يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Because of their sabr. And therein, they will be met, they will be greeted, وَتَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. وَيُلَقَوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. They will be greeted with salam. We ask Allah to make us among them. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. How long will they stay there? Forever. حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Abiding therein, excellent it is as an abode and as a place to dwell. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, for myself and for all of you. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful religion. We have, everyone in this world wants success. We also want success. We want success not only in this life, but also in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how we can get that. And Allah gave us the qualities. It's up to us now to inculcate these qualities in ourselves. Inshallah, in the next classes, we'll go over this, each of these one by one. But for now, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will live our lives like Ibadur Rahman, and who will die like Ibadur Rahman, and who will be resurrected with the Ibadur Rahman, and who will be given Jannatul Firdausul A'la with Ibadur Rahman. The primary and the supreme and the best of them being Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.